The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Brian E. Lau, creator of Staunch Ambition, and you are listening to the PBD Cast by John Orwater. Or wait, Orlando? Yes, John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PBD Cast. I'm your fired up host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 176. I'm a little bit fired up, I'm a little bit amped up, because I'm going to be talking about the Survivor Series. That's right, it's the Survivor Series review show, which DJ Joey Blaze is going to join me. We're going to talk about that pay-per-view, and we're going to talk about the storylines that kind of have branched out from the events that took place at the Survivor Series just a couple of weeks ago. I would like to throw it out there real quick that usually we are joined by Ringside Rand. He is not going to be on this episode. Rand had texted me about Tuesday evening or Tuesday night that he was not going to be able to make it. He has some health concerns. He's feeling a little bit better from what we understand. But at the time of Wednesday and the recording of this podcast, he could not make it. So get well soon, Rand. We want you back here on the PBD Cast telling us your thoughts and your opinions, man, on the world of professional wrestling. So with that, I'm going to throw it into our Audible ad here so we can get going, because DJ Joey Blaze and myself, we have a lot of opinions, we have a lot of insights, a lot of thoughts that we want to talk about. So let me just remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PBDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PBDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. They have tons of books, ladies and gentlemen, on the subject that we are going to talk about here on episode 176, that of course being pro wrestling. So to get your hands on a free audiobook today, all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/PBDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PBDcast to get your free audiobook. And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, DJ Joey Blaze and I dissect the Survivor Series. All right, ladies and gentlemen, sitting down here with DJ Joey Blaze, getting ready to talk about the Survivor Series and all of the fallout from the Survivor Series. Joey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I think the fallout started as soon as they went live, to be honest with you, from Survivor Series.
Well, yes, but before we get into that, we got to talk about two other quick things. First of all, no Ringside Rand tonight.
Absent,
as I mentioned in the intro, was not able to make it. I don't know why. He didn't respond to my message to him. I hope all is well.
Some hard times in the Golden Ghetto.
There has been some hard times. I mean, truth be told, he's had some health issues, you know. And so, Rand, hopefully we will see you back here talking about the Royal Rumble not too far off in the future.
Yeah, I want his excellent input and expertise on NXT, too, because he's so well-versed.
Yes. Well, maybe he'll be talking about All Elite Wrestling maybe next time when we have him on.
Possibly. Also, too, I'm kind of bummed. We tried to call in a substitute, and he's too busy this week, too, did we not?
Well, I did ask Will if he would like to come in, and Will said that he, unfortunately, at the time that we're recording this, is playing football. I'm assuming flag football. I don't think it's full contact football. At least I hope not.
Well, for his size, I hope not either. That'd be kind of scary.
I'm just saying, there comes a point in your life where you go,
I don't know if playing full contact sports is really the best
especially
thing.
Especially at his age. He's starting to get up there, so.
Yeah. The ripe age of, what, 27?
He's in his 30s with gray hair.
Is he?
Yeah, he's got him.
Okay.
He's got him. We had an excellent time at the AIW show, by the way, too.
Yeah, with him and
Christina.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me just kind of throwing a little bit out there.
I want to hear about it. How was La Parca?
He's fat. and he has his hands. His hands are so huge, it can engulf my whole face. I never thought this. It's like maybe possibly when Giant Gonzalez passed away at a hand transplant to La Parca, because this guy's hands are just fat and big. But it's like they kind of had to hold back because they had a hardcore match right after their match that was just insane. It was for their, what's their secondary title? That's the hardcore title.
It's like the intense title.
And very good. I mean, it spilled out to where the guy that ended up winning the match was laid out right in front of me, like right in the chair. I didn't get blood on me. Thank God. It could have happened. But they did a spot where they had a wooden stage or a wooden ramp going to the ring. The old Taz, who did he pose as Taz? Yeah, Bam Bigelow. They did that spot.
They went right through it.
But it was great.
Was that Matthew Justice and... Matthew Justice versus...
I called him Aquaman the whole time.
Well, he does have a resemblance a little bit. I can't remember who his opponent was. I want to say Nick Gage, but that wasn't it.
Some guy was like the fourth member of the Mean Street Posse is what he reminded me of. I have nicknames for all these guys. I don't know them. No offense to them, but I come up with my own names for you. Whatever. It's because I like you, and it was a good match. It was a great night overall. Magnum CK, though. Shout out to him.
In his last match. Right.
I've known of him. Followed some work. It's only the second time I got to see him work. It's just a shame. I saw him recently tagged with Jock.
Yes.
Which was pretty cool, but loved the gimmick, and I'm sad to see him go.
Yeah.
Be forced to retire, but... Overall, I don't know. Let's say if we rate it on 5 body slams, I don't know what we rate things on here, but I would give it probably 4.75.
Body slams.
4 body slams, and the 5th one went to a roll up.
Okay. All right, there you go.
It was a fantastic show. Matter of fact, and I'm just going to leave this out here as a teaser, it got my juices flowing for indie wrestling again.
Well, there you go.
Which there might be something I might mention to you. After the podcast tonight, too. So,
okay, wow.
Anyways,
You're such a tease. People are at home are like, what? Anyways.
I tell you, it was, they lived up to their name.
And I'll tell you right now, if you haven't seen, AIW's announced that Masato Tanaka's coming to their next show.
And unfortunately, I have a sweet 16, or I have a birthday party. I got a DJ that night, or I'd be there. And he's wrestling.
Nick F and Gage. That will be an amazing match, no doubt about it. Hard hitting. Yours truly will not be in town either. I'll be out of the state, up in Rhode Island, visiting mom and stepdad and all the fam.
But I want to put this out there. Hopefully, there's one of those that come up that maybe you and I can go check out together.
Definitely.
In 2000 was it 19 that's coming up?
That's the year. Yeah.
Oh my lord, I'm getting old. So just want to talk about that really quick.
Problem,
I had a great
problem.
Time with Will and Christina. But screw him for not coming on the show.
Hey now. Get in there, ref. Come on. Let's also talk, of course, as we're recording this on Wednesday evening, the passing of one of the legends in the world of professional wrestling. The Dynamite Kid passed away at the age of 60 years old, which is incredibly young, man. Incredibly young.
It's incredibly young, but I always thought he was older because of the shape he was in after wrestling. I mean, he was a grumpy old, he was a grumpy dude, and you've heard a lot of bad things about him, but I'm telling you right now, Saturday mornings, sitting there, eating my lunch, my youngest brother, or whatever, he's still considerably older than me, and he'd watch me, he'd babysit me, and we'd watch Superstars.
Yeah.
And that's my earliest, if I could think of anybody in my memory when I first started watching wrestling, two guys that always come to mind are the British Bulldogs. And the Dynamite Kid was so ahead of his time.
Yeah.
I'm just discovering that I can touch my Peter and it gets hard at that point when I'm a little kid.
Okay.
Sorry, you might have to bleep that out. But I'm trying to say when I'm young.
You're self-exploring.
Right.
You're finding out how the world works. I get it, Joey.
It's green. Whatever the case you want to call it. But trying to set the stage and you get this guy and you don't think of it then. But then as you get older.
Yeah.
You really truly appreciate it, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's obvious what wrestlers he influenced.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. Yeah, it's definitely a sad day, but guy hasn't been involved. Like, I'll be honest with you, I thought that he might have passed already.
Really?
Just because I wasn't really... Yeah, because I didn't hear anything about him.
No, I don't think he's done anything since, like, 94? 93, 94?
I think he did some stuff in Japan. Yeah,
with Johnny Smith, if I remember correctly. Yep. I can't remember what the team name was, but... yeah, certainly a loss for the world of professional wrestling, the Dynamite Kid, for all of his faults and all of his issues and whatnot. Still very innovative. And obviously he influenced quite a few folks.
Oh, God. So. It's always great memories, for sure.
All right, well, let's real quickly recap the Survivor Series, and then we'll kind of spin off into the various other storylines that have come out of this. So here we go. In regards to the Survivor Series, I think both of you and I talked off air. This was not a very good pay-per-view by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was pretty bad.
I think part of it has to do because I was hyped for it.
Yeah, sure.
If you go back and you listen to our predictions, like I had, you know, I was predicting some stuff that I thought would be kind of pretty cool if they did. And we'll probably, I don't know if we're going to talk match by match. There's some stuff that I really liked. But it wasn't enough for me to say, put over the whole pay-per-view.
Well, here's my big gripe. You pitched the shutout of Raw winning, right? So they sweep everything except for the one goddamn victory, but it didn't really happen, so they claim. So what's the point of having the kickoff show then? If matches are going to take place there, why not stick the Cruiserweight title match on that kickoff show if it doesn't mean anything? And what a way to undervalue that goddamn 2 hours I spent on this couch watching TV.
Oh, it was only 2 hours?
I think so.
I don't know. Like... I ate lunch on Sunday, then all of a sudden it was on because they run those damn pre-shows so damn early where they just keep reviewing the same stuff that we saw 5 times on Raw before.
Yeah.
Stop with the filler. Let's get some killer.
Exactly. But the Usos won the 10-man tag team match and the only victory for SmackDown. This, I thought, was kind of a clusterfuck. There was way too many people in there. But I had a brilliant idea, by the way, and I jotted it down here, and now it might be coming to fruition, at least part of this. There's been a lot of rumors over the last few days that Aleister Black may be called up to the main roster.
Correct.
I was thinking, what better way than to get a really good tag team to go against the AOP than to bring up Aleister Black, pair him with Connor of the Ascension, rebrand them, you know, as... The Ascension, right? Victor as kind of maybe a mouthpiece, or maybe the Buddy Roberts of the team. And there you could have a viable team that could believably beat the AOP.
They dropped the ball with the Ascension when they brought him up, first of all. And they had a great thing they could have done with AOP. And they could have kept this short, but I think I might have spoke on this on a previous PVD cast, where they could have, when Ellering was fired, he could have went to manage them, and then they could have had, he could have went to manage the Ascension. Excuse me. You already had the face paint. You already had that Road Warriors-esque thing going on.
Right.
Made them more of a stronger team against AOP, eventually getting the AOP over, but kind of give them a better push than the cheese dicks that they've been on TV and what they've done with them.
Exactly.
Because they were pretty badass in NXT, and then they've just been, they've been floundering obscurity.
Big time. On top of the Revival as of recently, too. But I digress.
That's one of the things I was thinking. I was actually speaking to some friends today about a good way. This Revival thing with Lucha House Party needs to just die right now. Forget about it.
Because it makes no sense.
Zero sense.
Zero sense that the faces are cheating. That's what you're doing. Any of the three can be in the ring at any time.
The faces cheating. From 205 Live.
True.
Okay,
right.
So these guys are supposed to be on 205 Live. Now they're beating guys on Raw. So they get rid of that. They bring in somebody to manage the Revival. Mm-hmm. Whether it be Michael Hayes come out from behind there, whether it be Arn Anderson, somebody with some oomph from the 80s tag wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Hell. I know this is crazy, would never happen because he's happy and he doesn't like Vince, but somebody like a Zabisco or something. Somebody that has a mouthpiece that goes well with them and they have a feud with AOP. And then somebody was like, well, somebody have to be a face? No, 80s tag team wrestling in old NWA was heel tag teams fighting a lot.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
You had the Midnight Express and Tully and Arn that started a program that unfortunately
never ended. Well, the Road Warriors were heels when they fought the Midnight Express, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yeah.
So you have that, and you have these dynamic mouthpieces, too, for each team, and I think that would be a great feud.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's writing tag team wrestling for Raw. It's terrible. Stop putting these singles guys together as tag teams, because that's one thing SmackDown at least is doing right. I know they're pushing them down your throat a little bit, it seems like, but they're sticking to it.
I'm going to disagree. I think SmackDown's not doing a very good job with the tag team division because it's the same three tag teams.
But it's at least better. It's tag teams.
It is tag teams, and the quality of those teams is fantastic. But where's sanity? Why are they not...
Oh, I agree with
that. Being focused on, like, what's up with them? You know, I think you can't do something with Anderson and Gallows on SmackDown. You can't do something... Hell, with the Colognes, we joked about it on the, you know, two episodes ago on the preview, but the Colognes, where the hell have they been? You could work with them as well.
See, that's the thing. It's like you having 2 days stale old bread like you do on Raw, and you have bread that's getting ready to go expired. It's not the fresh new loaf. But we're wanting that fresh new loaf, but the bread that's still a day before it expires, it's still okay, and that's what we have on SmackDown, where they still need to get the new loaf, which is still better than what's going on.
Sure, okay. Great analogy, by the way. I like that.
Man. I like bread. I carb loop. I like my carbs. What can I say?
So then the women's 5-on-5. I think, if I remember correctly, the sole survivor was Nia Jax, if I remember correctly.
I don't even want to remember correctly.
It was not a very good 5-on-5 match either.
I just don't. That's another one. We talk about Fallout. Excuse me really quick.
Well, here's the question about that. They replaced a bunch of people. Mandy Rose is on the team for SmackDown instead of Charlotte, which that happened on the pre-show. Banks and Bayley replaced Natalya, and I can't even remember who else.
Ruby Riott,
thank you. And so we have...
Which just could have been a spot where she could have shined, because she's one of the better things they have going on Raw in the women's division,
exactly,
in my opinion.
Exactly. So overall, it was not very good.
And then the fallout from Nia Jackson, I never understood her even in NXT. I mean, yeah, she's a big girl, and, you know, we've had big girls. We've seen Mount Fuji, but she's not the big girl that's feared like a
Bull Nakano.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
And I don't know.
I don't get it either. I don't. And maybe we could touch on that a little bit later on as well, because I think the women's division in Raw is a little bit of a mess right now. I think this was a match of the night. I think Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura was the best match that we saw.
I would agree with that.
You know,
it was a solid back and forth match.
Yes, it was.
But here's the thing: I would have had something come out where Dean came out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a perfect way to advance that feud.
Exactly.
And they dropped the ball on that, but maybe it's because they wanted Raw to just, you know, which is, to me, is dumb too. You want them to kind of still stay competitive, and I don't get the whole blanking them.
I don't either. And you know what? Here, we'll just go ahead and kind of merge into this. You know, we've seen over the last couple of weeks on Raw that Dean's going through this metamorphosis to become Bane, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know where they're going with this character. Like, he's a germaphobe. Well, okay. Can he just be just a pissed off, angry heel? Like,
which
why?
He's good at doing.
Right, which he's good at doing. I don't get the germaphobe thing. Like, I'm like, logically speaking, real quick, not to interrupt, sorry, but logically speaking, pro wrestling is probably the least hygienic.
I noticed that when I went to the AIW show.
I mean, that, you know.
That's one thing that's never changed in all these years is the crowd at an independent wrestling show.
Well,
anyway.
And I'm just going to tell you, man, that mat is gross. I don't care how often you clean it, it's going to be gross. So, but I digress. I mean...
So, side note, I saw more... You know, we're familiar with the term underboob. We like underboob, right?
Yes.
I saw more underbelly at this independent wrestling show than I want to see forever. And we'll just leave it at that. Get a shirt's a little bit longer, fellas. Anyway, but no.
Yeah, I mean, Dean Ambrose, I don't know what they're doing with this character. I mean, I think that it's they're trying for something that's not working. Well, and it's not going to work.
But that's what Raw is. Raw is trying for a lot of stuff that's not working.
Exactly.
So, I would have set it up. I would have had him come out and just beat him down and, you know, and then cause... Maybe they're worried about he'll be a tweener because of his personality. Because he has a Stone Cold-esque type of personality.
Sure, he does. He does.
And maybe that's what they're worried about, but... I don't know. I would have had him get involved in that match. If the match was decent, I would have put Nakamura over, because Nakamura deserves a good, solid win.
Yes, he does. He needs one. He needs one. The AOP over the bar, which this match, I thought was very disappointing. It wasn't as hard-hitting as I thought it was going to be. There seemed to be several miscues. The whole Drake Maverick pisses his pants is stupid.
Do you think Enzo Amore messed up that match, though?
No.
Because that was the match where he...
Yes, Enzo
Amore... might have thrown somebody off.
I say no. I say that there was nothing in regards to him. I don't think he impacted...
Well, yeah, the whole pissing pants thing sucked. Like, the whole way they used Big Show sucked.
Yeah.
Like, I... Yeah, and you said hard-hitting. That should have been way more hard-hitting because these are four guys that are super stiff and can go.
Right, exactly. So that was very disappointing. Buddy Murphy versus Ali, Mustafa Ali. I thought it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. But again, this should have been on the pre-show. I'm sorry. If you're going to do something like this, put it on the pre-show. I thought it was
I agree, especially solid. For what they're wanting to do with the... Raw versus SmackDown thing, and since it's 205 Live, its own thing.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. The men's 5-on-5 Survivor Series matchup, Samoa Joe getting jobbed out in like 2 minutes. What the hell?
That was just terrible. Does he still have an injury, kind of? Is that why he's not wrestling?
That's got to be the only thing I could think of. And at that time, I'm like, he's got to be hurt. And then subsequently on SmackDown, we have yet to see him compete. He's been doing some fantastic interviews and promos.
Oh, he always does. Awesome. He's always great at that.
But, you know, it is a crying shame that he's not pushed to the moon.
Oh, my gosh. I'd have liked to have seen a little hard-hitting between him and Braun.
Yeah.
Some good stuff. Yeah, he shouldn't have been... The whole booking of that match was terrible. There were some cool spots, but yeah, the booking and just the way it just kind of spiraled out of control.
And our sole survivors are Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman, and Drew McIntyre. Again, I think that we talked about it. It was obvious so that Braun could get his hands on Baron Corbin, that he was one of the sole survivors. Overall, I was pretty much bored with this match. I didn't find anything interesting after Samoa Joe getting eliminated. I was like, well, I've lost some interest.
I just don't understand. Is Shane a wrestler or is he general manager or whatever the head person is on
commissioner?
Commissioner, I'm sorry.
And he's also apparently executive producer of Miz TV as well. Apparently, he's booking that now. Apparently,
whatever the case, like. Just do one and do it solid. Like, I love seeing Shane, but I like seeing Shane sporadically.
Right.
But now they're, God, he's working all the time now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know.
To the match that infuriated me the most was Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. And I'll explain. I felt like that match was really good. I mean, it was snug. They were giving everything they had. They had me. I was invested in this match. And then the ending, the fucking DQ, I'm like, that's what you're going to end this match with? That doesn't make any sense. It's a back and forth match.
Well, to me, for a couple of reasons, it makes sense. Obviously, they're setting up something a little bit grander, which we've talked about before. And Raw still has to win. It gives Rousey a way to beat Charlotte without pinning her.
But it if you're going to go that route, then there had to have been somewhere... In that match, like to me, it makes much better sense. I would have booked it that, okay, you're going to go back and forth, but then there's a point where Rousey just takes command and she just absolutely, for everything Flair gives her, she's got a reversal. She gets out of it. Build that frustration point. Now it makes sense for Charlotte Flair to go batshit crazy with the kendo stick.
Okay, all right.
But you get what I'm saying, Joey? Like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Oh, fuck it. I'm just going to grab this stick and beat the hell out of you. That doesn't make any sense. You know, like, and that's what infuriated me so much about it.
So you're upset about the story for sure.
Yes.
And I can see that. I still liked it because they beat the living crap out of each other.
They did.
And, you know, these women. I mark out for it. I'm so excited for TLC. Personally,
yeah,
that you know they have the same platform and they're doing the same things, and it's not. Now, don't get me wrong; I've always liked the TNA aspect of it, but
yeah, but you know, there's a difference between Candice Michelle's run in WWE than Charlotte Flair's.
Exactly, and
you know,
it's just amazing. It's amazing what Charlotte's came from too. Seeing this is not what she wanted to do. That's why I'm always enamored by her.
Yeah,
this is Reed's dream. She's living.
Yeah,
so. Right. I'm always going to be enamored with her, and I like the match. I can see where you're kind of upset about the story, but I like the hard-hittingness. I like kind of the direction it can take. Because, and that's one of the things with the women. I think they're kind of keeping a little bit more fresher with them. And so, well, on the SmackDown side, the Raw side is one of the many things that's jumbled up too. Mm-hmm. But no, I liked it, but I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, that I mean, the story is exactly what made me perturbed.
That's the only way you could book that, though, ending as in a disqualification.
Well, right. And I don't have a problem with
it. So they can have something down the road.
I totally get that, but I just felt like there was a better way to do it than the way that they did. Now, Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan, I thought actually this was the second best match of the night. I really did like it. At first, I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be a squash because it was Suplex City, Suplex City, Suplex City. But I liked right there at that, you know, what, about 7-8 minute mark where they kind of gave the twist and they gave that hope spot for Bryan, you know. And I at that point, was like, okay, I'm getting into it. So I thought it was okay. I thought it was the second best match of the night.
I'm sitting there watching the beginning. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again with Lesnar. Yeah, here exactly. We go. And I'll be honest, I was almost to the point where I was going to turn it off.
Oh, okay.
It was that late. I mean, his last match, yeah. Mike. And then he started to do... And then he actually was able to get some offense off on Lesnar, mm-hmm. like he did, like having him in the Yes Lock.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Lesnar's face. Like, I think they were really... Because this is Daniel Bryan's dream matchup.
Yep.
And I think they got together before and, like, don't hold back. Neither one of us are going to hold back.
Right.
And I think that's what made it such a... It ended up being such a decent match, too. So, it's right there. Like, when you would say the first of Nakamura
and Rollins, yeah, I thought that was the best match.
It's up there, but I still like the women's match. I can see on the story, but it ended up being a way better than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that have happened post Survivor Series and some of the angles and some of the storylines that they're going with here. You know, I think that we both are in agreement from talking off air that. And I've already kind of went off on a rant about it as well. The Raw side of things is really in shambles. Like, there is such a disconnect in some of those storylines. I have no idea what they're doing.
Does Baron Corbin know where the bodies are buried?
Yeah, I don't know.
And I it just seems like one of those things that he's in a position in the company where I don't think he should be. No offense to him. I'm not into him, but he's done this, he's done that. Okay. But he's not that great on the microphone.
No.
He's not that great of a worker.
No.
And I just don't understand the position. And he's the centerpiece of all the feuds that are going on right now. I don't like what they're doing with McIntyre. I think they could do totally something different and get him over. Well, I hate what they're doing with Lashley. I think that's goofy.
Number one, I'm bored to death with Lashley. As a face, as a heel, I could care less. I just want him to go back to do MMA, you know, because then I'll never see him ever again. Leo Rush,
that's strong.
Well, I mean, because I don't watch whatever Bellator or whatever promotion he's in, because he's not in UFC, whatever promotion he's in, I don't watch that. Leo Rush, I've never been a fan of. I didn't like him in Ring of Honor. I don't like him here. McIntyre and all of a sudden Ziggler and McIntyre now have beef. From last week's. That doesn't make any sense.
It happened so quickly.
We have just random things happening that there's no explanation whatsoever. And Elias somehow was factored into this because they attacked Elias, which...
Well, they're pushing Elias from the top faces. I can kind of see that.
Sure, I get that.
And I was getting excited because they used Bray Wyatt at that showdown in Cincinnati, the Starcade, but it wasn't on TV.
Right.
As a fill-in for Strowman. And I'm like, well, that might be cool.
Right.
You know, they could do some stuff because here's a former champion that's healthy and he has no spot on the card. Are you freaking kidding me?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, but no, they turn Ziggler to face. And he's bounced back and forth more than the Big Show, it seems like.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I don't understand that. Again, I don't understand the Lucha House Party shtick is just awful as well. With the whole anything goes. Chad Gable and Bobby Roode deserve so much more than what they're getting. It's stuck in that feud with AOP, again with the pissing of the pants and the pissing on Bobby Roode's robe. Awful. Absolutely terrible.
Those of you listening at home or in your car, you should see the frustration on our favorite person from Providence's face as he's talking about this. We talked about it before, but Lucha House Party, go back to 205. Go back there. Do your thing there. It's a fun shtick. Mexico's 2.0. I get it.
Great. Oh my God, Mexicals!
Don't do it. Don't do it here. We got enough people on Raw. Go do it there. You're fine there. That's great. Put the Revival in a better situation, like we talked about earlier. Now, what was your next one? Because you just went on to a whole other tirade about Bobby Roode and
Bobby Roode and Chad Gable.
Okay,
they deserve better.
And I totally agree with that. I think as a mid card, I think Chad Gable needs to get him away from this tag team stigma, and they can push him as an angle-esque type of wrestler. Mm-hmm. And then Bobby Roode, we know his track record.
Yeah.
And he's great. And he doesn't need to be, in my opinion, he doesn't need to be a good guy. He's a better bad guy.
And on top of that, he doesn't need to be in a tag team.
No.
He is so talented to be on. His tag team days are done. All right? They're done.
I totally agree. I think he needs to head up a faction of guys that are smug and have money.
Yes.
I think that would be
kind of great. Retread what he did. What was that? Fortune. That, yeah.
Like over. Horseman-esque. Like, yeah. I think one. Now, I know you're not going to like my fourth member, but just follow along.
Okay.
I think if you had him with Ziggler.
Okay.
Maybe Miz, but you could have to be on the same brand. Okay. So you have the two Ohio boys.
Okay.
And Zack Ryder. I think that would be a very neat faction, just for the simple case. As you can do a lot of just for mic work in general.
Yeah.
They can help get over anything just with their mic work. And then the ring work would be that great too. I know you're not a big Ryder fan, probably. I don't think so.
No, I don't mind Zack Ryder. I feel
he's. But he's floundering. He's just on the show. Like, he needs to be on there because the kid, like, loves wrestling and he gets it all and they don't do anything with him.
Yeah.
And especially after how they treat him with that IC title. So maybe not those four. But I would have See, here's where we miss managers too. Like, I think if they had somebody they could put with them, Flair can't do everything anymore like that. But have somebody that you could put in that mix too, or maybe a hot chick, like a really hot chick that has those. Because but you have four really good looking guys like that too that are cocky, and I think that suits Roode better than hey, we're baby faces, me and Chad Gable. Well, hug.
Like you already have. Why not put Roode with Almas? Because he's that cocky, arrogant heel. And you got Vega already there, Zelina Vega, and there you go. There's your tag team. You've built around maybe a few other people. Maybe you bring somebody
else. He's floundering on SmackDown because they don't have enough time. Give SmackDown 3 hours and not Raw.
Exactly. You could put EC3 in that same group.
Oh, that would be a great call-up. You'd have three Ohio boys with Bobby Roode. That would be awesome.
So... the women's division in Raw is also just completely a mess.
What the hell's going on?
The Riot Squad's feuding with whom? Everyone? Because it just seems like they're always involved in
Natalya.
Yeah, but Natalya's also involved with Ronda Rousey and the Samoan girls and it's a mess.
And all they have for Bayley and Sasha Banks, arguably their two best workers for females.
Yes.
Are mic spots where they're getting interviewed by plants. Come on.
They're getting interviewed by indie workers.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is.
I mean, they're probably loving it. Like, hey, we don't have to go through it. But, you know, like, they could do so much now that they have Alexa Bliss in that role because she's so good on the mic.
Who is actually one of the bright spots of Raw.
Yes.
In that role, we know that supposedly still the concussion is an issue. Still trying to get healthy. But she does a damn good job in that role.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
But they did tease women's tag titles.
Which is sweet. And that does need to happen.
It needs to happen tomorrow. Like, you need to book it right now.
But my question is this, though. DJ Joey Blaze, do you have SmackDown and Raw women's tag titles? Or you just have one
set of tag titles? I would get rid of the SmackDown and Raw women's titles. Just be one women's championship and one tag team. Maybe do secondary titles with Women's Intercontinental, Women's US,
ooh,
or something like that.
Okay.
And that's what they need to do with the Raw brand, to bring back the Undisputed Championship. You don't need a champion. Your main champion's IC, US, and you have a guy that goes between both.
Correct.
I totally agree. There's way more appeal with that.
I agree.
But I think if they did that and they branded them with the women's division, you defended the tag team. Because, I mean, you have great women's tag teams already built in on both brands.
Yeah, you do. Exactly. Iconics, which are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You got
Sonya Deville and
Rose. Yeah. You got Tamina and Nia Jax. You got you know.
And it allows you to use more of these other women to bring them up because yeah. they're starting to build more in NXT, and they're going to be busting at the gills, and they're going to have to put them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So it allows them to compete for that. That's going to allow storylines. Maybe they'll just do a completely women's show like they do 205 Live, which I think would be cool.
I think that would be cool.
I would watch it. I think it'd be great, but... they need to do, they need to freshen this stuff up. And mm-hmm. I think a good way to hit that restart button's at the Royal Rumble.
Ooh, for tag titles there? For women's?
Everything. Oh, the okay. women's division, because it's going to be competing.
Sure.
And, you know, and sure. I think that's a good way. Maybe they're just kind of trying to put band-aids on these problems and then hit that reset button at Royal Rumble.
I hope so, because man, oh man, I got to tell you that Raw has been awful. SmackDown, I have enjoyed. I mean, there are still some flaws with SmackDown. I mean, there certainly is. But overall, I mean, I like what they're doing in regards to a lot of their storylines. I think I'm one of the few folks that enjoy kind of the not-so-serious Miz. I know right. we got away from that, but I enjoy it. It's a change of pace. I do enjoy, again, as I said, Samoa Joe's promos. And Daniel Bryan as a heel is fantastic. Again, I could really do without Randy Orton. But nonetheless,
I kind of like his feud with Ray. I think that's a good, because you have two veterans.
Yeah.
But I just don't like what he did with Jeff. And Jeff yeah. kind of, I feel like they're kind of, I don't know what they're doing with him. And he said he's going to have one more solid year in him, supposedly. And then you have Matt Hardy. Even if he's injured, he needs to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And one way, give him an interview segment.
Oh, that,
that would be great.
That would be fabulous.
Just like have him, you know, kind of have like, you know, they have the Miz TV, give him something on Raw. Yeah, and I think that would be a good way to further storylines. But back to SmackDown. Yeah, I enjoy most of it. But yeah, definitely has its flaws. And there's guys, Ty Dillinger, he's injured still.
I believe so. I haven't seen anything, but yes.
That dude's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a great worker. He's great on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
He's great at getting the crowd involved. See, like I said, CN hasn't been on TV. I'm not a big CN fan, but...
I'm not either.
He's a great hand. He's a good worker.
You know what?
And you need to have Zelina on TV, too, because, you know, you need that hot chick on TV. That's just what it is.
Well, let's move on real quick and talk a little bit about NXT War Games, if you will. Did you watch?
I did.
Which I think was the better show of the two on that weekend. There were a few things that I didn't really dig. I really didn't think that... Cassius Ohno deserved the 15-second match that he had with Matt Riddle. I understand why they did it. They want to get Matt Riddle out there. They want to give it a little taste. But why not build that? Why not build that to the next TakeOver show?
They could have built that from there, too, and they haven't.
No, they haven't.
It's just like, kind of happened. And like they could have really done some stuff and built up, and they could have had a nice...
Yeah,
solid exactly. match at the next TakeOver.
And so the ladies' match, of course, Kairi Sane takes on Shayna Baszler. You know, I thought that the match itself was probably the best match that those two have had. I think.
I'd agree with that.
Because I like the psychology of how things mapped out. That you know, Shayna got the first fall because of the interference of the other two, but then you know, Sane managed to fight back. But here was the thing, like when the shenanigans started again with the other two, I'm like, does she have no friends? Does right. Kairi Sane have no friends? No one's coming to help. And at the last minute, Dakota Kai and who else came out? Somebody else. Oh, the EO. I can never say her last name.
I'm a fan of Dakota Kai.
You are? Okay. Yeah,
she's a cutie.
Okay.
I'm a bigot.
But nonetheless, Shayna retains the NXT Women's Championship.
Which is, I'm thinking that she might drop it at the next TakeOver. Because that's around Royal Rumble, and then I think she'll be in the Women's Rumble.
Probably.
It was a fairly decent match. I've seen enough of this. I'm ready to see the next feud.
Yes, same here. But I thought it was the best match they've had. Mm-hmm. Okay, Aleister Black takes on Johnny Gargano. I gotta be honest, I was like, eh. On this one, because as I've said before, I'm tired of all the strikes.
Oh yeah,
and this was kick knee. Well,
that's what
kick,
you're gonna get
knee.
with Riddle.
Oh yeah. I'm sure of that.
That's what
I'm
you're
sure.
getting with him too. Yeah, you get a former MMA guy, and that's the style he knows. And I mean, that's the way we're kind of going now.
I know, but the lack of variety, I should say, is what kind of put me to
Gargano sleep. Made him look good.
Sure, I'll give him that.
I mean, dude. He can go, man. That I'm taking, you're not a big fan or something.
No, no. I
it wasn't his best match, but I think he made Aleister look a lot better.
Yeah, okay. I definitely would give
it. I enjoyed
that.
The match.
Yeah, like I said, it wasn't great. It was meh. The next match I think was fantastic. The best thing of the weekend. Velveteen Dream taking on Ciampa. Man, I think that match was fantastic. Because it gave you a little bit of striking, but it also told a story. It gave you a little bit of everything. And that's what I want.
Velveteen Dream, and I, sorry to interrupt.
No, no, go ahead.
As we've talked a lot about stories today so far, right? And he is a great storyteller.
Yes, he is.
He's great with the psychology. And when he came in through Tough Enough, he had already had some training.
Mm-hmm.
And he's where he is because he wants it so bad.
Yeah.
And that's what's so, man, that's why I like watching him and
watching
him, his psychology, and watching him with these stories and embracing that character.
Yeah.
And that's what made it so good. And then Ciampa I think Ciampa could almost be complimentary to any wrestler.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The guy is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he could probably wrestle a mop. At times. I wasn't really familiar with a lot of his indie stuff, but when he came on and started doing stuff, I'm like, man, this guy's great. And I really enjoy watching him. Yeah, it was a solid match.
It was. Sure. And again, let me compare. Okay, Gargano and Black seemed to be just one dimensional.
Yeah.
This was multi-dimensional. As weird as any of the listeners are probably thinking about that. We got a little bit of the story of Velveteen Dream and his character, and then how he's going to battle against Ciampa, and then we got even a little bit of the comedy where he was mimicking Hogan, and then we got the strikes and the hard hits in the new style. That I like. That's what I want. Give me a little bit of everything. You know, I'm not trying to be one of those old wrestling fans like, oh, this flippy shit is, you know. No, give me some of that, but give me some of the other stuff. Tell me a story, too.
So the agents in the back, who do you think helped book that match?
Who? I don't know.
I saw a lot of Sean in that match.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay.
Just you could tell. You could kind of tell where he's kind of putting his fingers
in the pie.
Yeah, so to say. Totally.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But that main event, though.
The main event was good. I still think Dream and Ciampa was the best match of the night. I think War Games went just a smidgen too long for my liking because it seemed to carry on and carry on and carry on. But, I mean, Ricochet delivered, you know, on his outstanding athleticism. I think that the Undisputed Era really solidified themselves as being a bunch of, you know, dicks and cutthroat.
And that might be the faction that you need to get called up all together at one time.
Yeah, you're right.
They totally did it. And the War Raiders, like, I think it made everybody look really good.
Yeah,
I don't think it went long, but I think it told a great, back to the whole thing, great story for each character.
Mm-hmm.
And building them and pushing them the direction they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough really to compare because you and I both grew up on the old school War Games.
Yeah.
Where's the spike in the eye? Where's Brian Pillman getting pressed against the top of the cage numerous times by Sid? That type of stuff. So we have to kind of give that up for the new type of moves and stuff like that. And sometimes you might need that time to develop those type of things, I guess. Yeah. But it was still solid.
Yeah.
Not as good as the championship match, but solid.
Yeah, yeah. So, have you watched any of the UK NXT? I have not.
Unfortunately, I've been a very bad wrestling fan, and I have not either.
I have not seen
I've never been a fan, though, of British Strong Style.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure if I am. I mean, I love Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, he's more of a technical type of guy. And I'll throw it out there real quick just as a random side note. Total tangent here. For Final Battle Ring of Honor, I think Jonathan Gresham versus Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be fantastic.
I like how they set that up, too.
I do, too. That was great. I am literally, that's the only match I give a shit about.
Why didn't they do that here? They did in Pittsburgh. They should have set it up here. They did it in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know.
Assholes.
Anyways. I have not watched any of the UK NXT. And with the exception of a few people, I don't know who's on that roster. I don't know too many. So I'm kind of curious, because I know that Tony Storm, you know, Killer Kelly is on it, you know, Mustache Mountain, Pete Dunne, but that's about it. So
Wolfgang.
I don't even know who that is. So, okay, I'd like to learn a little bit of some of those folks. I really do want to check it out, though.
Well, our colleague that we asked to come in and pinch hit tonight, who's busy, whatever he's doing, playing flag football. I don't know what he's grabbing, but He was. We talked about that a little bit in the ride up to AIW, and he watches it pretty decently. Him and Christina do so.
How many episodes do they have out though? I think they only have like three, right?
I think. Like I said, I'm a bad wrestling fan when it comes to that. I've been following the mainstream, but I've been wanting to bite more seriously after that trip up to AIW. I've been wanting to follow more with. I'm not getting as intense as some people, but I'm definitely into some more indie stuff, and I'm going to probably check out that stuff, too. I just don't want to get kicked out of my house for being too lazy and just sitting around watching wrestling all the time.
All right, how about some miscellaneous news real quick? What are your thoughts on All Elite Wrestling? You know, it's been heavily rumored that Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Jericho possibly is involved, Jim Ross possibly involved, creating their own corporation and creating their own wrestling company. What do you think about that?
I would really like to have Rand's insight about this, because I'm sure
he's on top of it.
I'm sure he had massive notes about, as well as the NXT report rundown. I'm excited for it. But here's the thing. Why branch out and do that? Why not partner up with somebody that's already doing it?
You know what? I think that's a good idea. In fact, a friend of mine, Justin, had mentioned something working with the NWA. Because, you know, the NWA just had that pay-per-view a few weeks ago, the 70th anniversary, and I gotta be honest, I watched it. It was okay. It was a solid C. The production values were freaking awful.
I remember you talking about that.
But besides that, so I think that would be a perfect way to kind of pair up with them. But hey, look, Cody and the Bucks are money right now. Whatever they say is successful. Whatever they do is successful. I got to think that if this gets off the ground, All Elite Wrestling, I think it's going to make an impact.
We already have Impact trying to make an impact.
But anyways, pun intended.
But here's the thing. So you still have the WWE, which nobody's touching.
Right.
And now you have three and that next rung on the ladder instead of two.
True.
You know, so that's why I think partner up. If you're going to go after somebody, everybody put all your eggs in one basket and let's roll. I think it's a great idea. I think, but on the same token, too, I wouldn't be surprised seeing those guys show up in the Royal Rumble.
True. I mean, they have made, you know, gestures the WWE have to Omega, Skrull, Paige, the Bucks.
Maybe that's all something that they're doing just to throw everybody off, too. Copywriting names and this, that, and the other to knock the smart marks off, you know, because. Those guys on the dirt sheet, they work really hard to get all that information. And I don't know. I think it'd be cool. Do we need another? I can't follow all the stuff we have already.
I know. I'm in the same boat.
Like, let's just everybody get together and do something so we can enjoy it. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion, too, on that.
Okay, well, recently Vince McMahon revealed that the XFL, I almost said the next XFL, as if, like, you know, the next version of it. But anywho, Vince reveals that the XFL slated for February 8th and 9th, 2020. And in fact, it's less stall, more ball. That's the catchphrase they're going with right now.
Didn't they list the cities, too?
I think they did, yes.
Like,
I did.
The cities already have NFL teams, really?
Yeah.
Why not go to cities that are big cities that need, that would just like to have something like that? So,
right.
Because it's already, in my opinion, too, I'm just full of opinions among other things tonight. Just go ahead and put them in cities that doesn't have it that would be able to support it.
Like Des Moines.
I mean, look at the media outlets. Like, just somebody like Columbus is a top.
Okay.
What, top 20 media outlet?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying Columbus and being a homer, but. There's cities that you could go to.
Sure.
And you could still. Because people are going to be footballed out. That's, you know, whatever. I don't think I need to go in NFL, and that's what he's doing. He's more of a business success than I'll ever be, so.
Well, did the USFL do that? Because the USFL had some franchises in NFL cities, but they also had random ones, too. So
right.
I'm just wondering, you know, like. Maybe do you need to balance it out in that? Now, and again, I know the USFL actually was successful. If you watched the 30 for 30, it was successful for a couple of years. You know, is that the balance that you need? You need a XFL team in Pittsburgh, but also one in Des Moines. You know, you need one in Lansing, Michigan, and also one in Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Is that...
It'll be interesting to see what it does. I mean, He's got a plan for it, so we'll definitely see how it pans out.
Well, here we go. I found this little fact that I wanted to talk about. And in fact, I already mentioned her already. But Candace Michelle was in Youngstown, Ohio recently and gave a TED Talk.
A TED Talk?
A TED Talk on injuries in professional wrestling. Because as you well know, her career was ended when she shattered her collarbone. The look on your face. If only this was a video podcast.
Well, here's the
thing. You look completely perplexed.
I'm not totally aware of... I haven't read her autobiography, so I don't know exactly everything about her. I'm not familiar with a TED Talk. I apologize.
You don't know what a TED Talk is?
When I hear TED, I think of the little bear that talks with Mark Wahlberg.
Well, here's my question. So TED Talk...
Say hello to my family for you.
Whatever. So TED Talks are like supposedly like either social issues or scientific issues in which they have an expert talk about them. I don't think that, just to me, this seems like she gave a speech and just slapped the name TED Talk on it, which I don't think you can do that. I think there's an actual corporation called TED, and I think they have to okay it. I don't know. Did they okay it? That's my first question.
I didn't even know she was in Youngstown. She didn't hit me up to let me know she was close, so I think that's why I look more perplexed.
Oh, okay. You were heartbroken.
Are you sure she didn't shatter any of her bones doing that softcore Skinamax movies? Or
speaking of movies, I saw that Braun Strowman is in the Sherlock and Holmes movie. Did you see that?
Holmes and Watson movie.
Whatever. Yeah, what did I say?
I saw that in the preview. Sherlock list.
Holmes. Never mind.
The John Holmes movie he's going to be in. No, I saw that on half the preview. I didn't realize it either.
Yeah.
I thought that's going to be pretty neat.
I enjoyed the fight scene. That was hilarious because it was very tongue-in-cheek to the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. So correct. I enjoyed that, yeah.
It'll be a pretty funny movie. That's what I was talking with some of the people I was talking with earlier today about some of the stuff, and that's one of the things that I brought that up and how excited I am for the movies around Christmas right now.
Really? What are you excited for?
We got Spider-Man Into the Universe.
I'm totally down with that one.
And the only... I know people aren't as excited, but I'm just excited because they look G1 as the Bumblebee movie. The other Transformers look G1. I mean, Soundwave. G1 Soundwave.
I don't know.
I'll mark out for that.
Okay.
And then... Aquaman.
Aquaman. I'm excited for...
The intense champion from AIW.
Yes, they do. I'm excited for Aquaman and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse
as well.
Of course,
you're a nerd, right?
Of course. I am really interested in seeing The Mule, which is Clint Eastwood's newest film.
I saw a preview for that.
I would like to check that out. And then Welcome to Marwen. I'm really interested in that film because I actually have a copy of it. I thoroughly enjoy the documentary Marwen Call, which is the true story in which that movie is based off of.
And it's fascinating. I am not familiar with any of that.
Oh, man. So. That's a whole other podcast. We could talk about that movie. That's a whole other podcast. But
okay. I think I'll probably be rammed on that one. But
okay. Are you looking forward to seeing John Cena in Bumblebee?
I have a whole... So supposedly, and I know it's the rest... We're talking about wrestling. Is that they're rebooting G.I. Joe.
Okay, I'm not aware of this.
He's carrying over into the G.I. Joe realm.
Oh, because they've done that crossover of Transformers and G.I. Joe.
They're doing that crossover starting with this movie.
So who is he in the movie? Is he like Duke or one of the G.I. Joe characters?
I haven't looked up the name. But, I kind of have a feeling that they might reboot it, and they might reboot it the right... Because obviously they're trying to reboot Transformers the right way. Bumblebee is a Volkswagen.
Yes.
Soundwave is a boombox.
Yes.
The right color Starscream just like a jet.
Okay.
So Optimus Prime looks more G1. So I'm thinking there might be trying to be more towards...
Every time you say G1, I'm thinking of NJPW. But anyways.
Generation 1. So yes. I have a feeling that they're kind of going that route and that maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. What I do know is that we saw the trailer this week for Captain Marvel, which looks insane. Did you watch it?
I have not watched it yet. I'm so sorry. I have not watched it yet.
If you don't, guys don't know John's background. He's a huge comic book nerd, and he knows all this stuff, but he hasn't watched that yet.
Shut up.
I've
been busy. I've had some important meetings this week. I'm sorry.
Well, hopefully it's one to clean up this damn... room that we're in. The green room's closed for construction, so I didn't even get any food when I came here. It's a whole other story. But Avengers tomorrow.
Yeah, they drop. I want to know if they have a title. I think that's the biggest thing I'm concerned about.
Well, the title will probably give away everything.
Probably, but, you know, I'm excited for that, too. So
and there's a big poll going around who should kill
Thanos.
I don't know. People say Tony, and it's Iron Man. I don't think so.
Nah, I don't think it's going to be Iron Man. No. No.
So, I mean, it has to be Thor. He's the strongest Avenger.
He's got to be. The Hulk, maybe. Man. I would put my money on the Hulk.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
It'll be our luck. It'll be lame-ass Namor the Submariner.
They introduce him in this movie.
They just introduce him, and he wins.
He hits him with a dolphin. But one of the things I'm interested in, too, for this is post-credits. Now that they've usurped more into the Marvel Universe, they're talking about mutants and stuff come along. What are we going to see as at the end of that movie? Are we going to see Deadpool? Because they're re-releasing Deadpool 2 here in another week or two.
Right, yep.
And you saw the preview for that, right?
Yes, correct.
With Fred Savage. Yeah,
the Fred Savage. It's very much hilarious. Like, yes, that is good.
I agree. So we're going to see Deadpool. Are we going to see mutants? Are we going to see any of those? So
yeah,
I don't know. I know it's way down the road, but that's leading from that preview on to how the movie is and after the movie. I'm so psyched for all of it. Anyway.
Well, with that, it's almost up to that 55.
I just called you a nerd, and
I totally marked
out worse than anybody.
Hey, if you can't mark out for something, then what are you doing? What are you living for?
Speaking of marking out,
Go ahead.
I'll be marking out for Funko Pops this weekend.
Oh, really?
If anybody's hearing this, they're into Funko Pops. This weekend at Trader's World, they're doing a Funko Pop swap. Saturday and Sunday.
There you go. Where's Trader's World?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, okay.
Yeah.
You'll be there.
I'm going to be there. I'll be there. We got a table.
If you're listening.
It's going to be interesting.
If you're listening into the Cincinnati area, first of all, A, you would be the first listener in the Cincinnati area, according to my stats. But B, stop on over and say, hey, DJ Joey Blaze, I heard you on the PVD cast.
Yeah, stop on over. It's going to be a hell of a nerd fest there, too.
And if you want to get in touch with DJ Joey Blaze, where can people get in touch with you,
Twitter,
sir?
Instagram, at DJ Joey Blaze, DJ JOEYB, as in Bobby, LAYZE.
There you go. Joey, it's
what about fun. Rand?
What about him?
Can we give him a shout-out? How do we get a hold of him on Twitter?
I believe it's on Twitter, at Rand Dittmar.
Okay, so there you go. Shout outs.
In all seriousness, man, I hope all is well, Rand.
Oh, totally.
In all seriousness, man, I hope that it's just a little scheduling snafu and whatnot. But for that, DJ Joey Blaze, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me again. It's always a blast.
All right. And with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode. But before I do that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. So stick around. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze and yours truly talking about the Survivor Series and all of the wrestling storylines that have come out from that particular pay-per-view. And, you know, as you heard, we think that SmackDown's on the right track, whereas WWE Raw is kind of a jumbled mess. So, and you know, we even threw in some other, you know, insights and opinions there about NXT and, of course, All Elite Wrestling and even talked a little bit about some movies and superheroes, so I think it was a pretty well-rounded episode. But I would like to say, if I'm totally wrong on the statement about the TED Talks, please let me know. I'm not sure how those work. I think I got it correct, but I'm not 100% sure. So you can let me know if I'm correct or not, or you can school me some on TED Talks if you want, simply by dropping me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, or you can find me on Twitter at pvdmvp, or you can leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVD Cast, that being facebook.com/PVDcast. And you know what? If you want to let somebody know where you can get this podcast, well, you can get it pretty much anywhere podcasts are, including iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise. And probably the easiest place, if you want to tell somebody, hey, you got to check this podcast out, the easiest place to get it is the online home of yours truly, PVDcast.com. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. So I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.